Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: O girls, the dust of Govinda's lotus feet is so sacred that even Brahma, Shiva and the goddess Rama take that dust upon their heads to dispel sinful reactions. Purport: according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, who quotes from Shastra, each day in the late afternoon, as Krishna returned from the cow pastures with his cowherd boyfriends, great demigods like Brahma and Shiva would come down from heaven and take the dust of his feet. Great personalities like the goddess Rama, the wife of Vishnu, Shiva and Brahma are not at all sinful. But in the ecstasy of pure Krishna consciousness, they feel themselves fallen and impure. Thus, desiring to purify themselves, they blissfully take the dust of the Lord's lotus feet on their heads. Well, that was a surprise for me to be plunged into the most intimate part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the establishing the greatness of Srimati Radharani. That's in the previous verse, although she's not directly mentioned. This pastime of Radharani and Krishna leaving the Rasleela, and then Radha and Krishna being separated, and then their return is the subject, the main, or the topmost leela, which is the subject of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, particularly this pastime, this Gita Govinda, the famous book which we are not supposed to read until we're qualified for that. There's very high qualification that is based on this pastime, and following that with so many verses, songs, plays have been composed by the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. So it's very intimate. If we consider that Krishna is not very easy to understand, Vedeshu Durlabham, Adurlabham Atma Bhakto, Manushanam Sahasreshu, Kaschid Yatati Siddhiya, Yatatam Abhi Siddhanam, Kaschin Mam Veti Tapvataha. Krishna is not easy to understand. And we are to understand Krishna, how are we to understand him? Matah parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. He is the source of everything. He is the aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriya jnana vairagya yashchaiva shannam bhagatingana. He is the Supreme Lord full of six opulences, and there are hundreds and thousands of verses praising the greatness and glory of Krishna. But Krishna himself feels subordinate to Radha. So, how great is she? Some people object that, well, we don't find much about Radha. We find a lot about Krishna. We find in Shastra, we find in the Vedas, we find Lakshmi is described. But we don't find Radha. No, we don't. She's not advertised. It's difficult enough for the conditioned souls to understand how great is Krishna. And then if we have to tell them that Krishna is subordinate to a village girl, that is not possible for them to understand. What to speak of not possible for the conditioned souls to understand, even for liberated souls, even for devotees to understand. We find that some devotees of Lord Ram they say, well, our Ram is good, your Krishna is not good. Our Ram is very moral, your Krishna is not very moral. To understand Krishna's morality, to understand Radha's morality, that is not the subject matter for ordinary people. Radha's morality is that even though she is superficially married to another man, or officially, not only superficially, but officially, she is fully dedicated to Krishna. So this transcending mundane morality, this is the special qualification of the gopis. Here is described about the lotus feet of Govinda. Yes, in describing the glories of Radha, the gopis, they're also going on this track. They're saying how the great demigods, they worship the dust. Not only the great demigods, even Rama, Lakshmi Devi herself. They take the dust of the lotus feet of Govinda upon their heads. So the dust of the lotus feet, this is something absolutely non-understandable in Western culture. How devotees who are akinchan, they have nothing in this world. They have nothing to desire, they're completely aloof, they don't own anything. But they crave the dust from the lotus feet of Govinda. Even what it is in Western culture is difficult to understand because there's not so much dust of feet. Mostly people wear shoes. And it's not really like that fine grit, I suppose you could call it, that is common in India when people walk. And most of the year it's dry. Not now, it's rainy season. Rainy season in India now, but most of the year it's dry, so when someone walks barefoot or even with shoes, then some dust will adhere to their feet. So that dust, the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and of great persons, that is considered most valuable by pure devotees. They desire to get that dust. They have no desire for gold. They have no desire for kingdom, wealth, but they desire the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna or his great devotees. Here it's stated that the dust is taken upon the head to dispel sinful reactions. That's an effect of taking the dust of the Lord and his devotees. But more important is this, than that, is that they award Krishna Prem, these three things, Krishna Pada Duli, Krishna Pada Jal, Krishna Bhukta Shesh, 18 Mahabhav, these three items. The dust of the lotus feet of devotees, Shuddha Bhagata Charana Renam, Bhajana Anukul. In the several items that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes as being favorable for pure devotional service, the first thing that he describes is the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, and many others he describes. So, and Krishna's Kaviraj describes this. Dust of the lotus feet, the water that has washed their feet, and I was saying Krishna, bhakta bhukta shedha, the prasad, from devotees. These are all that they have taken and their remnants. So these are all very powerful for awarding pure devotional service. So what's so special about that? Just like we worship Sri Guru Charana Padma, Kevala Bhakti Sadhana, Bandha Murya Savadhana Mata. We worship, or we pray to, with great care, the lotus feet of Sri Guru, understanding them to be the abode of pure devotional service. So this may seem very strange if we see Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. They could be analyzed from a physiognomy. Yeah, what's the adjective?
Physiognomical.
All right, you said it. Whatever it is, could be examined. If you have an X-ray machine, you could see in Srila Prabhupada's feet. There's the bones are there, the same as anyone else. You don't see any lotuses in the X-ray. And there's flesh, and it appears to the ordinary vision, Srila Prabhupada's feet and his body appear to be like that, like anyone else. In fact, when he was in London, he had an operation. So went to the hospital, had an operation in 1977. So it would appear that his body functions in the way that anyone else's functions, and to ascribe to that body some supernatural powers appears to be fantasy. However, we are enjoined not to see with material vision. One cannot see pure devotees with material eyes. You can say, well, you can see. Put an X-ray and you can see inside, and from outside you can see. But pure devotees, they're not to be seen with material eyes. The Supreme Lord, can you show me God? I say, sure, no problem. Just come right inside here. Up the stairs, turn around, ring the bell, and here he is. You can see him. I say, well, I don't see God. I just see a statue. That's all. It's not God. They will protest. This is not God. This is a statue. And very clearly, this is a statue. It has all the characteristics of a statue. Whatever characteristics of statues may be described or sculptures, the sculpture is formed in such a way that even though it's quite thin at the bottom, it's strong enough to hold the body or the rest of the torso, everything else. If deities are not sculpted in that way, then they tend to break, as we have seen, unfortunately. So they appear to have they have all material characteristics. But, nevertheless, those whose eyes are premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, those whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of love, they do not see the statue. They say, here is Krishna. Here is the Supreme, here is God. First of all, God. Krishna you can think about later. First, let's try to understand God. That God is Krishna. That's a higher level. First of all, that there is God. There is a Supreme Controller. And here he is, but you can see him, but we cannot see him if we don't have the qualification to see him. So people were saying, well, that's just an excuse. You're just saying that. You didn't show me God. But that's true in any field. Just like in a field, for instance, an agricultural field. Anyone who goes for a walk in the country, if you see the field, you'll see so many things, but you may not see them. One whose eye is trained can see that among the wheat there are weeds or there are various insects. One who's not trained won't even notice them. One who is trained in music while hearing the same sound, the same musical piece that others hear, they can understand so much more what's going on. There's a whole science. Now Krishna cannot be seen by the eyes. What to speak of Radha? The subject here is, well, not of this particular verse, but this section describing the glories of Radha. It's a very secret topic. It should be discussed among the devotees. Not publicly. It's not meant for public discussion. And even the very intimate affairs of Radha and Krishna, that is not meant, even among devotees, that should be discussed very carefully. May be discussed, but only among devotees who are suitably qualified. Otherwise, the effect may be the opposite. Instead of becoming purified, we become contaminated. How can one become contaminated upon hearing about Radha and Krishna? How is it possible? Well, it is possible if the contamination is already there. It's not that one becomes contaminated, but if the contamination is there, it comes out. Just like there's a saying, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But that's not the Vedic version. There are many kings who are described in Bhagavatam who are great devotees, who despite having power did not misuse it. And that's why the battle of Kurukshetra was fought to put Yudhishthira on the throne and to replace Duryodhana. Because Duryodhana was corrupt. So power only corrupts if the seed of corruption is there already within the heart. So similarly, one may become contaminated by hearing about Radha and Krishna. Not exactly contaminated, but the contamination which is already there may become manifest, may become worsened. Therefore, we are enjoined not to hear Gita Govinda, even though we should. In one sense, we should. That's the actual subject for understanding. This is the actual, this Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto, especially Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna, and especially the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This is the actual subject for hearing. There's so many things. Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nirang Santi Sahasrasha. There's so many things to hear. So many. It's just so many things. So many subjects. They're all in the universities. They're inventing newer and newer departments and newer subjects of study. Each PhD has to bring a new variety of stool to present to the world, another flavor of for the hog-like people to devour. And no one's talking about Krishna. This is the actual subject. Otherwise, everything else is blah, 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 blah. On and on and on. This is the actual subject. But at the same time, it should be approached very carefully, because the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they appear to be like mundane, lusty affairs. And if the seed of lust is within one's heart, then may sprout. Or if not just the seed, there may already be quite a healthy tree of lust within the heart. Quite a robust weed. So in that state, to hear about the intimate pastimes of it means the sexual pastime, to be frank, to be straightforward, it may appear like mundane sex. Therefore, one has to approach, first of all, with a philosophical understanding. How great is Krishna? Simply by hearing about him, simply by mentioning his name, remembering his name, one becomes purified. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtanaha Hridyantas Tohi Abhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. Krishna, by hearing about him, all the nasty things in the heart are cleansed away by his own personal intervention upon those who are sincere to become purified. So to understand, Krishna is all purifying. Krishna is so great that even the great demigods like Brahma and Shiva, they put the dust of his lotus feet on their heads to remove their what they consider to be their contamination. One cannot become Brahma without being highly purified. So it's not that Krishna's lusty affairs, it's not that they are mundane. Otherwise, why would great sannyasis like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, they all praise Krishna. They're all sannyasis. Why do they praise Krishna? If he is a mundane, lusty person. So this is to be understood. Krishna is apapavidham. Srila Prabhupada used this term, prophylactic. It's by hearing of it. Papa Vidha means he destroys sin, and by hearing about him one becomes immune to being sinful. So these pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they're so intimate and they appear so much to be like mundane lusty affairs that for those who are not already highly purified, to hear about them may be dangerous for them. So here in the Bhagavatam, they are alluded to, they are not described in great detail. Other literary works describe them in detail, but those works, especially Jayadev's Gita Govinda, then the writings of Chandidas, Bhavabhuti, the Ramananda Rai's Jagannath Vallabh Natak, and other works. These the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to hear in the company of Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, not publicly. He would not discuss these subjects publicly. So this is the proper subject matter for hearing, but one has to become qualified. Now there is the verse right here in the Bhagavatam. What is that? Shradhanvita. How does that verse begin? That by hearing the pastimes of Krishna, all the lusty, with faith, then the lusty desires of the heart, they will be taken away. But the example of our acharyas is that even though that verse is there, still there's a qualification. One has to, that's why there are acharyas. Otherwise anyone can pick up any book and read anything, as is what's going on nowadays in ISKCON to a large extent. There are many books and many people can just pick up any book and read anything they like, but the actual system is that one is to study under an acharya who will direct. Now you read this, now you, and reading together. Not that everyone, it's not just a do it yourself. Learn Krishna consciousness in 30 days and get a book. Do it yourself, Joe. But one should be guided. Now you can do. Now you do this. And or even if one has an inspiration, that I have an inspiration to learn about such pastimes, even then one should take permission from one's guru. There was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He'd been a brahmachari for many years, since he was a child. He asked for permission to read Ujjvala Nilamani, which is a very high level discussion of the, specifically of the Madhurati, or the love of the gopis for Krishna. So I'm told, I haven't read it. So he asked for permission and he was denied it. He asked for permission again, he was denied it. Still he read it. The result, he went home and got married. He desired to enjoy. Because there's a description of sex. How to kiss and all this kind of thing. All the kisses of Radha and Krishna. So, well, sounds good, we may think. And then, fall down. So one has to approach the subject matter very carefully. Certainly we should praise Radha and Krishna. That is our specific object of worship. The Gauriyas, they worship Radha Krishna. Beginning with Radha Madan Mohan. Shri Radha Shaha. Shri Madan Mohan. First of all, Radha or Madan Mohan with Radha. First, establish our relationship. My relationship is not with anything of this world. I am a kinchan. I don't belong to this world and nothing in this world belongs to me. Then, Radha Govinda, establish that relationship by practical service, activity and devotional service. Then Radha Gopinath. Then Radha Gopinath. Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis, can be approached by this process. These three lords, 18 Thakur, Gorya Kekoya, Achenad, Tashat, these three, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, they are the lords, these specific deities, they are the lords of the Gauriyas. But first, we have to approach through Madan Mohan, who will help us. Jayatam surato pangor mama mandamate gati matsaravas padam bhojo Radha Madan Mohan. I'm like a layman, I cannot walk. I cannot walk and therefore I cannot approach the goal of Radha Krishna. But my all in all, a lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan. So therefore they can carry me. And by their mercy, I can be carried to the lotus feet of Radha Gopinath. Who are not different. There's no difference between Radha Madan Mohan and Radha Govinda, but how one should approach Krishna at various levels, this is to be understood. So I haven't gone in very deeply into this subject. It seems that, you know, leading up to Sri Radhashtami by discussing these subjects, but carefully. We should go carefully. There are many nice songs of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others, Rupa Goswami, describing the glories of Srimati Radharani. They are very suitable for us to recite in glorification of Srimati Radharani. That glorification of Radha is never separate from that of Krishna. We worship together, Radha and Krishna. Some devotees, they emphasize Radha so much, or presume themselves to be such great devotees of Radha that they don't chant the name of Krishna. They're just only Radha. Radha, what is that? Radha name gai Krishna Chandra. That's, Narottam says that we have to chant both the names, because by chanting the name of Krishna, we'll please Radha, and by chanting the name of Radha, we'll please Krishna. And therefore, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Are there any questions about this? Comments? Yeah, please.
Thank you very much. I have a question. I'm also not 100% sure, but these pastimes regarding Krishna, they're not mentioned very openly, obviously, in Bhagavatam.
They're not openly mentioned in Bhagavatam. No. Yeah, the indication is there that there's a lot more goes on. There's some indicator is the Digdarshan. This is the basic framework, and within that there are many subplots. And they're given later by the Rupa Goswami, and then this Kavi Karnapur, and so many devotees that have filled in so many details. Or even before, this Jaidev has given so much, yeah.
What are these later acharyas they give, they fill in? But are they getting it from somewhere? Like
where are they getting it from? Well, they're there, so they're part of the Leela, aren't they? That's how we accept it. That's why many people won't accept this. They say, well, it's not in the Vedas, so how can we accept it? But then we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself that the Vedas are praying for the mercy to be able to enter into that, because they can't enter into that. Normally they don't have the Vedas, they don't have the eligibility to enter. Then some of them, they become the gopis. Some of the Vedas, who are persons, they become gopis. That's described in the Garga Sanghita, isn't it? When Krishna manifests his pastimes, apart from the gopis who are already there, there are so many new gopis. Or those who have come from different backgrounds. The sages at Dandakaranya, who saw Lord Ram, and they were attracted to him. Nowadays people will interpret it in a different way, but they're completely pure attraction. They desired to worship him as Sita Devi did, but they could not, because Ram, in this Lila, he's only with one wife, that is his vow. So he told them that next time you come. So next time they came as gopis. And then when he was performing sacrifices after banishing Sita, Lord Ram kept a statue of Sita. And so each one of them was Sita in another form, but they also desired that, hey, you just come and make a statue and leave me. I want to be with you forever now. So, okay, you come next time. So they also came. Then the Vedas also, the Vedas who were praying to Krishna to understand that which was not understandable, the Upanishads, the personalities of the Upanishads, they also got the opportunity. So there are so many, just like when Krishna went to Mithila, Ram, when he went to Mithila, to Janakpur to take Sita. Of course, he apparently didn't know he was going to take Sita, but Vishwamitra knew he was, as he brought him there. So all the other young girls, they also thought that, well, what's the use of having any other husband apart from him? So they also got the chance the next time to become gopis. So anyway, I can't remember what's that got to do with the question. What was that? Where did they get all this from? Yeah, well, Rupa Goswami, he's there. He's part of the Leela, so he's in another form recounting that. Yeah, I'm saying we accept this. Not everyone will accept it, because they say we only accept what's in the Vedas. But then we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the Vedas themselves declare their incapability of entering into various intimate leelas of the Lord. Especially among the Vaishnavas, Madhvacharya, he is very much down on these gopi leelas. He's, He doesn't appear to like it. And his followers, they're very strict. No, we only follow what's in the Vedas. But Madhvacharya, he has very strongly established that the Supreme is a person. But then if he's a person, what's he doing? Is his personality limited? What is this mundane sex that goes on in this world? What is that? If it's not in the Supreme, then there's something here which isn't there. So it follows as a logical conclusion that these things should be there, but it's not public subject matter. It's not like in the newspapers they have all the private lives of the king and the queen and all this kind of thing. It's the modern age, but traditionally that's not. Even the children won't be poking their noses into the elders' affairs, and it's for the citizens to know all the private life of the king and queen. That's not civilized. There's certain persons who are very intimate members of the court. They may know. They may even share in that. They may be bringing messages here and there. So, but it's not public subject matter. So the. Of course, the Vedas are also not public subject matter. It's not meant for everyone. That's also meant for suitably qualified people. But then the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, that's it. It's intimate. It's God's private life. So it's private. It's not meant for everyone. Only those who are allowed. Admission by permission only. Management reserves the right of admission. Not everyone's allowed there. You can't say, oh, well. So, yeah, it's difficult for people to accept. It's difficult for people to accept if they haven't accepted the full import of what it means to be a person. So it's very difficult for us to discuss with the Madhva Sampradaya members, because they only see on the basis of Tattvagya. But then the tattva is that these, or the philosophy is that the person, the Supreme, is a person. But then the person means exchange, and there's rasagyana. And that is the specialty of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, which brings the Madhva Sampradaya's teaching to perfection, therefore Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava. And actually in Bangalore at present, maybe he finished, I don't know, but one highly reputed Madhva scholar, they among their own community, it's a small community, Madhva Brahmin community, who are actually still following the things. But they have all their discussions in their very philosophical way. So he's writing a book in Sanskrit, of course, because that's the language they write in and discuss in, for presentation to the Madhva community about Rupa Goswami's contribution of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that this is unique, this is something very special. They discovered it at last, or one of them discovered it. The mean, what does it mean? The personality of Godhead. This is his personality. So we have very great things, no doubt. This perfect questions, perfect answers is being distributed on the streets here in London. It starts off with Srila Prabhupada describing Krishna as a rascal because he knocks down Radharani on the ground, and then when she tries to get up, he takes the opportunity to touch her. That's the beginning of perfect questions, perfect answers. So, there you go. And that beyond birth and death, that starts with a very complex discussion of Nirvisheshvad and Buddhism. So what things we're distributing? People, they have a beer in one hand, a cigarette and a girlfriend in the other, and yeah, take this book. So anything else, please? Yeah.
Could you comment on, we're hearing you speak, it's obvious that the pastime
We chant Jai Radha Madhava, yes. Yeah, the words of Tulasi prayers are Seva Adhikarati, Karunijadasi, make me in the Vilas Kunje Dioba, give me residence in the pastime groves of Vrindavan and make me your own servant. It's very intimate, no doubt. So Srila Prabhupada pointed us to that, but at the same time, in discussion, he was quite reserved. And it's not that these things shouldn't be discussed, but they should be discussed appropriately and in an appropriate forum, not for everyone. We're not going to start having in the Srimad Bhagavatam descriptions of how... Anyway, these very intimate things. It's not appropriate. Some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, sometimes at Govardhan they get together. I don't know what they discuss, but I can imagine. some of them they're reading these. Some of these, exactly which pastimes I don't know. But Srila Prabhupada said that one should go to Vrindavan and study the works of the Goswamis. So he's not banned for devotees, but one has to have a suitable level of qualification. And if you're not sure, then you're not qualified. That's all. Am I qualified or not? If you ask the question, then not qualified. Just like Brahmachari, should I get married or not? If they ask the question, you should get married. That's all. If you're thinking about it, then not much chance. Only if one is convinced and committed can he go on throughout life. Of course, being a brahmachari doesn't mean just gritting your teeth and holding on. It's a lot more than that.